Hey, welcome into Sports Talk, everybody, on a Tuesday. I'm Scott Beatty, and Lauren Tate is here, the legendary Lauren Tate, pulling up a chair to the studio. You can pull up as well if you want to give us a call. 356-9397 is the way to get in touch with us over the phone. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Lauren, this is my first chance because of a few off days last week to personally talk to you since the announcement of your, I don't know what you want to call it, reduction?
Yeah, reduction. That's a good word.
In column writing?
Yeah, I'm just not going to do this quite as much. I'm just going to take it a little easier. But I spent 3 hours this afternoon, nearly 3 hours, going through legal documents that have just got me completely wore out. Man, oh man. I mean, this is ridiculous.
You're talking, I assume, today about the widespread fraud and bribery scheme that was unveiled today and charges doled out by U.S. attorneys.
I'm talking about the tip of the iceberg.
You said it, and we're going to get into this just a little bit, but if you missed the big news of the day, it's been all over national news, let alone local news. Arrests made today across the country.
Arrests?
Yes, 10 arrests total were made, including 4 assistant basketball coaches, for fraud and corruption charges that include taking part in bribe-paying schemes that federal authorities say was designed to match agents and advisors to players before they became NBA stars. One of those 4 coaches is Lamont Evans of Oklahoma State. He was Brad Underwood's assistant coach last year when Underwood was the head coach there.
That's right. He was in South Carolina the year before when all this started. They were wiretapping him as far back as South Carolina, I believe. And then, of course, last year at Oklahoma State, he was wiretapped. So, obviously, our coach Underwood was, if you talked to him on the phone, he was being listened to by federal agents.
Oh.
And Evans, I read everything I could today about Evans, and he's just plain criminal. I mean, I can't say it any other way. He just was taking money for himself. He was also trying to set up players to go with agents, and they just simply had him nailed all the way for the last 2 years, and just had him set up. And it's a terrible thing. Auburn is involved, USC is involved, Arizona's involved, all with assistant coaches, not with the head coach. But you remember when Bowen went to Louisville, and Patino said, "Gee, we didn't expect to get him. He's a kid at La Lemire, a great player, a 5-star. We didn't expect to get him." Well, maybe he didn't expect to get him. His assistant coach expected to get him because he paid him $100,000. And one of the offers to one of the players was by Adidas was $150,000 if he would go to the school of their choice. And they said they had to give him $150,000 because that just matched the offer from the other side.
What is sad about this is some of what has long been suspected or known but unable to be reported or confirmed. But the FBI has the means to...
Subpoena power.
Yes, unlike the NCAA or even a journalist.
And wiretapping.
Yeah.
Which the NCAA can't do.
And this is a sad day for college basketball. We don't know how far this is going to go. There's 2 other universities that are named in this affidavit. One is University 2, which very much resembles the University of South Carolina. And, obviously Lamont Evans was there, you said before,
yeah.
And Frank Martin is the head coach there. And another one that is unnamed, well, you just mentioned it, is Louisville. University 6, the University of Louisville, linking it to a $100,000 payout for a recruit.
And for Bowen.
Yeah, and potentially 150 for another. You kind of knew and suspected, but you didn't want the confirmation that, yep, this actually does happen. And I, with all the caveat that these are charges and everybody's innocent until proven guilty, but certainly this kind of public display would not be out there without a lot of evidence.
You are one of these 4 coaches, and you sit down. You're in jail right now, and they come in, and they take you into the room to interrogate you, and they say, by the way, if you will tell us everything, we might go easy on you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
Now, if you lie in a court case, or if you lie to federal agents, what's that, 6 years? I mean, you're not going to lie, are you? I don't think
at this point you're not. Not if they have it.
If there's a way for you to get out, who are you going to take down with you?
Yeah, because usually they want the heads of the snake. And
well,
there are bigger fish to fry. And here, this
well,
is from,
the Adidas people are really, the 3 or 4 of those guys are going to go to jail.
Dan Wetzel wrote in Yahoo Sports today, death penalty postseason bans, mass firings. It's going to be a scorched earth, the bill coming due on a sport that has operated in the shadows of corruption for generations. Yet for college hoops, none of it represents the scariest part of the three complaints laid out by the Department of Justice today. This, a statement by said undercover FBI agent, should terrify every coach in America, quote, because this affidavit is being submitted for the limited purpose of establishing probable cause. It does not include all the facts that I have learned during the course of the investigation. Of course, yeah. I assume that maybe it's court or course, but this is, we don't know where this is going. But it's a sad day for college basketball. To the phone lines, 356-9397. Before we do that, I want to let you know that we are going to talk a little bit about Illinois football. Martin O'Donnell will join us. Tom Ackerman from St. Louis as well. How magnanimous of me, because the Cubs' magic number is one, but we'll go to St. Louis nonetheless. It's where the Cubs could clinch tonight. All right, to the phones, Bill and Rantoul. Hi, Bill.
Good evening, gentlemen. Lauren's been saying for years that he knows this is going on, but he can't say how he knows or why. I disagree completely. I think this is a great day for college basketball, super day for college basketball. Put the criminals behind bars where they belong, clean the game up, get it back to what it was when it was honest, give everybody a chance to be good on their own merits, and get the crooks out of the game. I think it's the best day of college basketball news I've heard in years.
It may be, but it's never been honest. There was cheating going on in the 1950s. I mean, Moorhead, or what was the guy's name that said, how much money do I get, you know, when he was being recruited? I mean, that Kentucky was found cheating. I've gone back and studied it, and since I became an adult, roughly half of the national championships have been won by schools that at some point were caught cheating. Half! I mean, all those championships by UCLA, Sam Gilbert provided those teams for UCLA, or at least contributed. I mean, they cheated.
Yeah. Bill, I like the perspective that, yeah, if cheating is being rooted out now, that is a good thing ultimately, but it still feels sad. You know, and you don't know where this is going to reach, what this is going to impact, who. Is there any impact on the University of Illinois? Full disclosure, did reach out for a comment from either Brad Underwood or Josh Whitman, but there was no immediate response. That was not too long ago. Don't know if they'll have anything to say about it. But Brad Underwood, having worked with Lamont Evans, you know, what did he know? When did he know it? You know, all these.
Or
other,
did he know anything?
Right, because
it's very possible.
The concept is with these is they try to protect head coaches, boosters, and everybody else, right? Isn't that kind of the idea?
Keep
the head coaches in the dark so that it can't go all the way to the top. That's how one of the ways Rick Pitino still has his job, right, at Louisville from the last round of stuff?
Deniability.
Plausible deniability, right?
It's got to be plausible.
and to be absolutely clear, we don't know anything about what the reach is. All we know is that Lamont Evans was Brad Underwood's assistant, and that may mean absolutely nothing when it comes to Brad Underwood. Certainly has been nothing but a stand-up guy in terms of the way he's come on here. There should not at any point here assume anything negative about him.
Well, I think the first thing about Evans is that it's all, and I'm repeating, it all started at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then he was hired by Underwood at Oklahoma State. I assume that Underwood knew nothing about what he was doing. This is criminal enterprise. He was doing private stuff. I don't think he would want anybody to know.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be a criminal, I don't go around telling people. You know, I mean, if I'm going to be taking bribes, what do I want to tell people so it'll get out? I don't want it to get out.
The more people that know, the more that could turn on you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But this is all tied with Adidas and bribes for steering
the money. The money's coming from those Adidas and Nike and those shoe companies. That's where the money's coming from. It wasn't coming from alumni, which alumni pay a lot of money out to players that we don't know about. But in these particular cases, this was all about Adidas money and their attempts to get players to go to Adidas school and to sign up with their agent when they turn pro. And of course, we're talking about very top players. I wonder There's another guy named Evans at Oklahoma State. He was the guard on that team,
yeah.
And he was a really good one. I wonder if Lamont Evans was involved with Evans.
Trying to get him to the NBA, which is basically what...
That's what he did.
Yeah. Seth Davis tweeted today, no way to sugarcoat it. These indictments are a nuclear bomb dropped on college basketball just as the season is starting. He also tweeted, we will never react to a story about a recruit switching his commitment the same again. The underbelly has been exposed. We all know it. Every time Illinois has lost out on a recruit who seemed to be headed this way and then went somewhere else, the big question, you just wonder what's going on there.
We know that, that Kansas cheated on Alexander. We know that because that came out. I mean, it wasn't exactly Kansas doing it, but the mother got paid. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
The father got paid when Jeremiah Tillman went to Missouri. That's all. That was all what that was about.
Somebody tweeted today, and I cannot remember who it was, but also saying, if you think paying athletes will quell this, it won't. It won't change anything because there's always going to be greed for more money and ways to try and get around a system. I think probably should athletes be paid or not? I think that's probably a separate discussion. I don't think this is the result of athletes being unpaid. This is something else.
This particular is a little bit different than that, but this is like the whole business of the drug trade. If there are people that want drugs and are willing to take drugs, then there's going to be somebody to give them drugs for the money. If players are willing to be paid and they all want to be paid, they know it's illegal and they still want it, what's going to happen? They're still going to get paid.
Somebody's going to find a way.
Well, absolutely.
All right, it is game week. Illinois football against Nebraska on Friday night against the Cornhuskers. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff. And we will talk to the radio analyst for Illinois football, Martin O'Donnell, on the other side of the break. Also, Tom Ackerman still to come. It's Cubs and Cardinals in St. Louis tonight. Cubs' magic number is 1 to clinch the division. Cardinals trying to hang on by a thread in the wild card division race. They can no longer, or wild card playoff spot, I should say, they can no longer win the division. Lauren and I are back after this.
In that game, we asked Jeff to be our relief hitter. Yes. And that's where we've asked him. That's been his role since he's been here. We're not making any changes, been made in anything like that.
I think relief pitcher is the metaphor he was going for, but it works none the same. That was the voice of Lovie Smith yesterday saying that, well, my interpretation is that Chase Crouch is still the number one quarterback. We shall see whether it is him or Jeff George Jr. on Friday night. But one thing is for sure, the number one radio analyst for Fighting Illini football is Martin O'Donnell, and he joins us now. How you doing, Martin? You ready to get back at it?
Absolutely. Bye week was way too early this year.
It was, but the coaches talking about the time it afforded them to get back to fundamentals and get some things addressed, particularly with a young team. Is there any advantage to having it earlier because the team's so young?
Well, I think the real advantage for the Illini this year was just kind of given where they were health-wise. I mean, this is a team that, you know, there's some positions where, you know, they're really shallow, in particular the offensive line, and, you know, getting Larry Boyd banged up last week and Doug Kramer banged up in the first game. I think it came at a really good time for them from an injury perspective. But, yeah, I mean, I think ideally you want to get into a groove. I mean, we've talked about a lot on the pregame shows and on the broadcast. I mean, football players and coaches are creatures of habit. So it's been a little disjointed with two Friday kickoffs here and an early bye week. But certainly, you know, now until basically the end of November, they'll pretty much be in a groove.
Well, one thing that was problematic for Illinois in that loss, and there was a lot of things that were problematic to South Florida. And to be clear, South Florida was just a superior team at this point. But the offensive line looked like they had some problems at times. How much is hinging right now on the offensive line for Illinois to be better?
Well, a lot. I mean, I think football, in a nutshell, comes down to line play, both offensive and defensive line play. I think that's accentuated even more in the Big Ten and in the Big Ten West. And so, you know, certainly the offensive line, their sole job is to give the offense an opportunity to be successful. I mean, they can't control whether the pass is on target or whether the receiver catches the ball or whether the running back hits the right hole. But, you know, they got to give the offense a chance. And it's hard. It's a job that is harder when you are constantly shuffling that lineup. And that's something they've had to do out of necessity this year. But, you know, certainly there's, you know, every aspect of the team needs to play better after the South Florida game. The offensive line is certainly in that bucket.
Well, let's talk about Crouch and the fact that both Lovie and McGee indicated that he's still the guy. I think a lot of people thought after that game at South Florida that he might go to Jeff George, but he's evidently swung right back to Crouch. They put a lot of faith in him. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think their evaluation in having Chase Crouch as the quarterback is something that was made over the course of the entire year, you know, through the work in the spring. And he wasn't really able to throw very much in the spring, but certainly during summer workouts, all during fall camp. And, you know, it's kind of a fine line of trying to balance and say, okay, you know, you don't want to overreact. And when you've really put a lot of invested in a guy and he has leadership qualities that a lot of his teammates have spoken about over the past year or two. So I think you certainly give him a chance, but what we saw in the South Florida game was they weren't going to hesitate, and they went to Jeff George, you know, relatively early in the third quarter when things weren't working. And so I think competition is a good thing in anything in life. Certainly in football, you don't want competition should only bring out the best in people. I think Chase Crouch is a competitor, and I think we're going to see you know, the best version of him on Friday night. That's what I hope.
What would you think if you were the coach at Nebraska and they just fired the athletic director that hired you because they probably want to hire another athletic director who's going to fire you? I mean, did you ever see a guy more on the spot than Riley is?
Oh, I think we've certainly seen plenty of people on the spot. I mean, it's college football, you know, just given the economics of it and all the interests involved. It's certainly a program that has had the success that Nebraska has throughout its history, but I would imagine Mike Riley and his staff, I mean, they're just trying to take it one game at a time. You know, the net of it is, you know, if Mike Riley and Nebraska go on to have an incredible year, who knows how it's going to turn out, but certainly it doesn't, you know, it's never great when you have your boss replaced by their boss early in the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that Nebraska will bring into it. The schedule here, you mentioned it out of routine, but Nebraska actually gets the short week this week. Well, Illinois had the off week to rest and recuperate. Advantage or not for Illinois? I mean, coaches will always say it doesn't matter either side whether you seem to have the advantage or not. But does Illinois actually get an advantage because of the off week while Nebraska's got the short one?
I certainly think they do, and I think you also have to factor in that Nebraska is traveling, so their week is even more condensed. You know, we experienced that a couple of weeks ago playing against USF, but certainly the Illini are going to be able to be, you know, a little bit more rested than Nebraska. Nebraska is going to have to leave on Thursday to come and fly out for the game while the Illini are just kind of able to get into their groove a little bit. So certainly it sets up good for Illinois to be able to come off a bye week, and also your opponent is coming off of a short week. But, you know, how much that really matters when you get, you know, into the flow of the game, I don't really know. But I think certainly from a preparation standpoint, the Illini have had more time. And they're also going to be more rested than the Huskers.
And from what you know, Nebraska, I mean, they got three running backs. They've traditionally liked to run the ball a lot. Their quarterback hasn't lived up to the hopes and expectations. He's thrown a lot of interceptions. Where do you see Illinois having an advantage over them on the field, and what might be the cause for concern for Illinois?
I think really, and I haven't gotten as deep into my preparation as I would like to give you a great answer on that. I think the one thing that I've seen from watching a little bit of Nebraska tape and just, you know, reading a few things and watching, you know, some of Mike Riley's press conferences, you know, Tanner Lee, the quarterback, has thrown quite a few interceptions this year. I think he's a guy that tries to force things sometimes. You know, Mike Riley admitted that in his press conference on Monday. And so I think one of the things that the Illini need to do that they've not done a great job of early this season is really getting out fast on offense. I think if the Illini can shift some of the pressure back towards that Nebraska sideline, make them want to press a little bit, make Tanner Lee want to press a little bit. I think certainly from my perspective, if I look at it and I'm Nebraska, I'm going to try to run the ball against Illinois. You have some young defensive linemen. You got a couple guys that are undersized. You say, okay, we're going to line up and run against the Illini. We've thrown a lot of interceptions, but, you know, our tailbacks have played pretty well so far. So I would assume that's going to be maybe the prescription in terms of what Nebraska is going to try to do. That was certainly where they had success last year in Lincoln. Kind of eventually you're able to lean on the Illini defense long enough. The offense not able to stay on the field. And really in that fourth quarter, they kind of busted that game open. So I would anticipate them trying to pick up where they left off there.
Martin, you played a few years back. What was the status, what was the policy of the Illinois football team at home relative to the national anthem? Were you in the locker room or were you out on the field?
We were never out for the anthem.
Do you know, have we never been out since your days? Has it been that long?
Yeah, I don't recall us ever being on the field for the national anthem.
Now, you were on the field for the national anthem at other sites, I'm sure. I mean, for instance, when we go to, Nebraska next week, Iowa, when we go to Iowa, we'll be outside. You don't remember?
Yeah,
huh?
I honestly don't remember. I know we were always out for the national anthem in high school, but it's possible it was, but that was a long time ago. I know certainly at home that was never part of our pregame routine.
I think most teams, if you're out for the national anthem, that's a minority across college
football. Six of the Big Ten teams are out, and obviously eight aren't. If those numbers are accurate.
Yeah, but are the visiting teams out as well?
I mean, I think you do. In the case of Illinois at Iowa, you basically have a schedule, and you go on the schedule of the opponent. And if the other team's out, you're usually out. I think that's the way we're going to do it this year. I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Martin, we appreciate you checking in for a little bit. No, we'll be with you for pregame on Friday night, as well as obviously the call. So good luck in your prep and the short week as well. Appreciate you checking in.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Martin O'Donnell, for the former All-American lineman for Illinois, with us here. Lovie Smith, again, just this phrase here was key to me in his press conference yesterday.
Offensively, I see a commitment to the run.
That is not what I meant to play. Let's do this one.
We're not making any, no changes have been made in anything like that.
No changes have been made, is what he said about Chase Crouch. So I think I'm pretty convinced the first series is Chase Crouch. After that, I don't know what's happening.
That's right.
Do you think they might be planning to alternate quarterbacks kind of doing what Purdue is doing this year?
They'll be prepared. If one guy gets hot, that's who they go with.
Yeah.
You know, if Crouch starts out hot, they won't take him out. If he doesn't, and then they think they need to make a change, they'll bring in George, and depending on how he performs, they'll go from there.
I don't think it's a question now of Chase's arm. I know he doesn't have a rocket arm. He's not just going to throw it past everybody, but his decision-making has come into question, I think, in the first three games. There's just something when he gets out there, he's not making good choices. You can see he's missing open receivers. And the offensive line has to give him more time. They just have to. And a lot is being asked of a young line right now.
Yeah, and while he's not a young quarterback, he's a very inexperienced one. He's only started a couple of games, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few games now. He started one game last year, I believe. He didn't start the Purdue game. He finished it, and finished it pretty strong, even though Illinois lost in overtime. But then he started the Rutgers game, and he started this season. And I can see that he needs a lot more experience, and I don't know how good he's going to be. That's yet to be seen.
Now, here's how this works. Lovie, yesterday at his weekly press conference, talks to all the media, and then usually at the end of it, the coordinators show up in Garrick McGee and Hardy Nickerson. So we all go over to Garrick McGee, and first thing we ask him is about who's going to be the starting quarterback.
So I said the same thing that Coach Smith probably said. We probably said the exact same thing.
We're going to not, or?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
We probably say the exact same thing on every situation.
they were trying to keep their stories straight.
Well, I think they did. And I think it's pretty clearly Crouch is going to start and go from there. And by the way, they had another quarterback that showed up, and he was here for 2 days and left.
Are you talking about DeNovo?
Uh-huh.
He's gone.
He came and went.
All right. He said, no, thank you, but no,
I hope
thank
he
you.
Didn't. Hope he didn't pay a lot for rent for long time.
hope he returned the playbook.
I mean, why would you come in after the third game of the season and attempt to help a team when you don't have any more eligibility after this year? You know you're not going to play, right?
I don't know what that was about.
I don't either, but
it's
kind of weird.
Isn't just,
it? Here
hey,
and gone.
Hey, we'll offer this to you if you want because we need an emergency backup, but they've got other quarterbacks, too.
But he shook hands with himself as he left. I mean, he shook
hands. Nice to see you. All right, Tom Ackerman, KMOX Radio in St. Louis, will join us next. We shift to baseball. Cubs and Cardinals tonight. Cubs can clinch the division. Stay with us. 5:41, Sports Talk on this Tuesday as we take you towards the top of the hour. Cubs baseball tonight. Cardinals baseball tonight. Cubs magic number is 1. Cardinals trying to stay in it for a wild card spot. Tom Ackerman covers the Cardinals and more for KMOX. He joins us now. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Good to hear from you. First things first, did you get a selfie with Nacho Man?
How about that? I mean, that's fun at the old ballpark right there. And he's a good kid. I shouldn't say kid, I guess. Young man. He was on our station, KMOX, this morning, and he told us that he had to knock it out quickly because he had to get to work. I'm sure that was interesting for him. So, no, it was great. I thought it was a great story and, you know, a neat little fun little baseball moment. Nice interaction with Addison Russell, who was terrific through the whole thing. And who says the Cardinals and Cubs can't get along? So, yeah, I thought it was a great moment, especially in the fact that it was an 8-1 ball game and we were absolutely miserable here, the fact that the Cubs were putting it on the Cardinals. So it was a fun, nice thing to experience. And, you know, that to me is what baseball is all about. Look, I know that we want championships every year, and they wave 11 world championship flags and the standards are high. And I know that there's a lot of griping right now about what this team has done this year and all that, but it's nice to just have a fun moment every once in a while. You know, things have been just tense across sports this entire week. So, and I thought it was good to have a little fun.
And if the gap between Cubs and Cardinals fans can be bridged, then our political quabbles here, I think, will be bridge over troubled water soon. So,
yeah, if anybody can do it, why not Nacho Man? So
exactly.
It was a job only Nacho Man could handle.
Well, before we get into more of it, how about Yadier Molina? The update on him? Anything you know?
He has now reached nearly the 24-hour point. It happened yesterday on consecutive pitches, foul tips by Chris Bryant. So it's a 48-hour concussion protocol, which includes monitoring him. So he's not in the lineup today, but he is at the ballpark, and he said that he felt a lot better today. He was obviously in a lot of pain yesterday and a little disoriented, and now today, I think that his spirits are up, but he's in what's called the 48-hour concussion protocol, and so the Cardinals will continue to watch him. There's no official word until tomorrow on whether he can continue, and then, you know, they'll go from there, and if he has a concussion, well, that would, you know, more than likely put him out for the season, or at least, you know, for this regular season. It's a serious thing. I mean, you know, the Major League Baseball, the Cardinals, the Cubs, everybody takes that very seriously, and certainly Mike Matheny, who had to retire early because of concussions. So the Cardinals are watching their best player very closely.
Well, you know, we see something new every day that we thought we'd never see again, and to be hit twice in the same place on consecutive pitches on fouls is unbelievable. I mean,
he's such a tough guy too, you know.
Yeah.
And that first one, you knew it on our telecast. I don't know if you're watching that one, but Jim Edmonds mentioned on there on the Fox Sports Midwest feed that he had taken a shot, and he said, people, if they only knew how loud that is, he said, that's like a firework going off in your head. Mm-hmm. And it hurts too. And then for the next pitch, for it to happen again, and you know, Yadi was obviously wobbly and woozy, and they already had Carson Kelly with his gear on warming up. So when that next one happened, they yanked him out of there. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have to make a decision here to do the right thing. Yadier Molina is going to want to play no matter what. But at that point, yeah, that was just, you never know what you're going to see. And that was so, so difficult to watch.
I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm looking at this Cardinal team and wondering what will be the lineup next year, because if you take the whole season, it's about half Memphis and half St. Louis, and I don't know which way they're going in a lot of different spots. So maybe particularly the outfield, I'm not sure what's going to happen out there. What do you think, Tom?
I know. Doesn't it feel like, Lauren, that they have about 17 outfielders? I mean, they have so many players in that outfield, and right now the one thing you can say for sure is that Tommy Pham has to be part of that, and Dexter mm-hmm. Fowler has to be part of that outfield. I mean, those
yeah.
two are part of it now.
Yeah.
Is Dexter playing center field next year where he wants to play and is comfortable playing, or does he get moved to a corner spot and do you put someone else in center? But I mean, there are a number of options, and there are going to have to be some decisions made. They have so many. They put a lot into a couple of years ago when they let Jason Hayward, didn't let him, he went to the Cubs, signed as a free agent. They made the decision they were going to gamble that Steven Piscotty and Randall Grichuk were going to turn out to be stars, and they haven't. They have inked Piscotty to a long-term contract, but they'll have to make some decisions on those veteran players and where they're going with them because, as you mentioned, Tommy Pham has earned a spot. He's the MVP of this team this year. I mean, without Tommy Pham, they're in big trouble. He really saved them. And then you have a real budding talent in Harrison Bader and another one in Magnura Sierra, and then on and on. I mean, there are more than that.
So Voight.
The Cardinals do have, they have big decisions to make. Luke Voight, who's really all he can play is first base. He's like a right-handed Matt Adams. So he plays first. Jose Martinez is a first baseman. He can also play in the outfield. Matt Carpenter, where do you play him? Jed Jerko, what do you do with him? And then on and on it goes. Second base, shortstop, look to be pretty solid in Colton Wong and Paul DeJong. But then again, you have other players that will be vying for spots there too. So everything is pretty much on the table right now, including the rotation. I mean, the rotation, you got some young studs that are coming up from Memphis that are going to be raring to go and wanting to try to snag one of those spots in the rotation. You don't know what you're doing with Lance Lynn. I mean, the 2017 Cardinals will look a lot different in 2018. And on top of that, guys, I really believe, and I think the Cardinals are kicking the tires on this, I believe they need a legit middle of the order bat. They've got to get a three or a four, a big timer, a headliner. And I don't know how they're going to pull that off, but I think they'll try. And that might involve trading some of those aforementioned players. Right now, I mean, you're looking at, your 3-4 in the lineup tonight, for instance, is Dexter Fowler batting third. I mean, I think it's time for the Cardinals to go find one of those big bats and figure out how to make that lineup better.
How do you, mentioned the griping earlier on that has gone on. I know people have been disappointed with the Cardinals. Do you look at this as, wow, there's a week left in the season and they're 2.5 out of a wild card spot. They're 2.5 out of being in the playoffs. Or do you just go, well, this is an underachieving team and it's time for changes, not only in the lineup, but maybe at the coaching or management level again?
Well, I think it's the latter, although I don't think that Mike Matheny is going to be fired or replaced. I mean, that's the vibe that we're getting anyway from the owner, Bill DeWitt, although the fans, they're all over Matheny, but they were all over Tony La Russa too. I mean, everything that he did, they criticized, and that's just because they care. I mean, the Cardinals fans are like, I don't know, Alabama football, Kentucky basketball. They obsess over this team every inch, every moment, and that's not a bad thing. There's a lot of passion there. I say this all the time, every time you manage a game in Busch Stadium, you have 44,000 managers over your shoulder. So that's just comes with the territory. But I think the frustration is that this team missed so many opportunities. There were so many one-run losses. There were so many blown leads by the bullpen. And the most recent missed opportunity, I know they lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates, but the huge whiff was going to Wrigley and getting swept because you really had a chance. Now you're down 3 and you can really put pressure on them. And John Lackey and Wilson Contreras get thrown out of the game and suddenly you could just pile on right there, and they didn't. They missed it, and the Cubs smashed them, and then were able to gobble up 2 more wins, and suddenly you're down 6, and there's the miss. Now, yes, you're right. Mathematically, they're still in it, 2.5 out, but you could also say the Rockies have kind of stumbled down the stretch, and the Cardinals had some huge misses where they could have been close or owning that second wild card at this point. They just haven't played consistent baseball all year. That's been the problem.
Not only the 2.5 game gap now, but I think Colorado has the easier path with the remaining games because I think it's Miami and somebody else with a sub-500 record.
Well, they play the Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers.
Oh, they play the Dodgers, yeah.
Are the Dodgers sub-500?
No, forgive me, but the Dodgers don't have anything left to play for other than...
That's true.
And that's exactly what happened last year. The Cardinals were, at the end of the season, everybody was like, oh, this 2016 team, they were so inconsistent, so bad. And then the weekend comes, the last weekend of the season, they're like, well, hold on a second. I mean, they could end up getting in here, at least into a tiebreaker for the wild card. And the Giants had to lose a game to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers couldn't help them. So it's kind of the same situation. The Dodgers really don't need to do a whole lot. They've already won 100 games. And so you're faced with that with the Rockies. So, yeah, you need help now. And that's just a hard situation to be in. I mean, the Cardinals, if they were to suddenly wake up and win these next 3 against the Cubs, and then win all three against the Brewers, that might still not be enough because you're behind 2.5.
Well, just remember this. Now, I'm going to give you some encouragement, Tom. Win tonight, and you could be 1.5 out. And if you're 1.5
yeah,
out,
absolutely.
You got a chance. And I was there in 1964 for the whole Philadelphia series, guy. And I'm telling you, I've never forgotten it. And
that's right. And the 2011 Cardinals taught us a lesson, too,
thanks,
Warren.
Thanks to Atlanta. Never, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Atlanta folded down the stretch. Those guys weren't playing well, and the Cardinals made it on the final day. So, yes. You never know. Now, that 11 team had Albert Pujols and had a couple other stars, Chris Carpenter, you know, that were able to push them through the postseason. But you just never know. And you kind of hang on that hope, I guess. And you're right, it could get to 1.5 after tonight. But I think most people, this is what a Cardinals fan thinks tonight. The Cubs could celebrate at Busch Stadium. And that is like, you know, for a diehard Cardinals fan, is a sickening feeling. So you just hope to be able to hold them off as long as you can. But that's inevitable. I mean, their magic number is one. And look, they were the better team all year. They mm-hmm. were the defending world champs. They were expected to win the NL Central. They let the Cardinals back in because they didn't play well. They opened the door. The Cardinals started to creep into it a little bit, but they could not take advantage of that opportunity. The Cubs let him in and then slammed the door on him, and now we're in the situation we're in.
Well, just I want to leave you this with this, Tom. Next time you find somebody speaking ill of the Cubs or Cubs fans, just say, remember Nacho Man.
That's right. Nacho Man brought us all together.
That's right.
You know, I
that's the most fun I've ever seen a guy have at a ball game.
Was he having fun or what? I thought it was great. There are a lot of Cubs fans in town. I work downtown, so I saw them all out having breakfast this morning and having a good old time. If they don't clinch it today, you know, they could clinch it tomorrow, and it's going to be a gorgeous day tomorrow and Thursday at Busch. So I've said this on your show as well. I appreciate any Cubs fans who are listening right now, the fact that they come down, spend money in our city, and spend time at our ballpark. We'll see what takes place the next time these teams hook up.
Tom, thanks for your time. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy the rest of the run here.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Tom Ackerman from KOMOX Radio. Follow him at Ackerman1120. We appreciate him very much. Should be a good one. 86 at 5:54. We wrap it up in a moment. Okay, Rick Pitino, head basketball coach at the University of Louisville, has come out with a statement. He says, these allegations come as a complete shock to me. If true, I agree with the U.S. Attorney's Office that these third-party schemes initiated by a few bad actors operated to commit a fraud on the impacted universities and their basketball programs, including the University of Louisville. Our fans and supporters deserve better, and I am committed to taking whatever steps are needed to ensure those responsible are held accountable. That was sent through his lawyer. And basically, saying it was a couple of bad apples
wasn't
in the
fault.
Car. Yep.
And, I just hired them, that's all.
Plausible deniability.
How did I know they were going to act that way?
We'll see how deep the iceberg goes, the tip of the iceberg coming out today. Hopefully it does not cast too dark of a cloud across the entire sport, but we've long suspected there's been some dirty schemes going on in college basketball, and it is a great sport, and it's a lot of fun to watch and be a fan of, so hopefully this doesn't come out to be too bad. Lauren, thanks for your time as always.
Okay, something's new every day.
That's for sure. Thank you to Randy Offner behind the scenes, Martin O'Donnell on Illinois football, Tom Ackerman on Cardinals and Cubs baseball. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station.